Welcome in our new Director Sparkles of Gubernia on the topic how to tackle sustainability as board and board member in listed and non-listed companies. There's a lot of information and European reporting rules board members have to include in their knowledge and competences to be able to put the adequate questions forward and to assess checks and balances. An empirical study on listed companies of Gubernia published in 2023 is therefore supportive, as well the inclusion of sustainability in the Code of Governance of listed companies in 2020. But how to implement this in your company? What lessons learned of well-managed companies could help us as a board member and management in this process of making sustainability ESG in all cells of your company in an efficient and reliable way? What choices to make in governance? Sustainability strategy included in a committee? Yes, no, and so on. A lot of questions, and therefore we invited Geraldine Nolens, Executive Vice President ESG and General Counsel of Umicorn. Welcome, Geraldine. Before giving your testimony and insights, could you introduce yourself, please?
Of course, Chris. Well, first of all, let me start by saying thank you for inviting me. As you know, I really enjoy talking about sustainability, so it's a real pleasure for me to be here. Introducing myself, what can I say? I'm Belgian, I'm married to an Austrian, and I'm the mom of two teenage daughters. As you mentioned, I'm currently the ESG EVP at Umicore and also the group's general counsel. So how did I get to where I am today? Maybe starting with my education, I'm a lawyer by education. I studied in Namur first and then in Leuven. After that, I did 2 years in Germany, in Göttingen and in Würzburg. And then finally, I did an LLM in the University of Chicago in the US. After that, I started my professional career in private practice at a law firm, an international law firm called Cleary Gottlieb Steen & Hamilton, first in New York and then in Brussels. After that, I moved to the world of energy at ENGIE, at the time still Electrabel, Tractebel, GDF Suez. And then about 15 years ago, I joined Umicore. And at the time, I must say, I wasn't active in sustainability yet. But already then, when I met the people, I was really impressed by the sustainable nature of their activities. And it's one of the reasons why I joined Umicore. So I started there as the general counsel of the group. And then I got the opportunity to grow as a person and professionally. And I joined the management board about 9 years ago. And since then, basically, I've gradually taken on more and more responsibilities. So today, besides being the group's general counsel, I'm also responsible for the environment, health and safety aspects. Insurance, security, the internal audit department, and then of course why I'm here is because I'm also responsible for accompanying Umicore on its sustainability journey. So developing the sustainability strategy and implementing it. And since I'm working on sustainability, it's been really inspiring, it's been really rewarding, it's been fun, and I really enjoy doing it.
Okay, thank you for giving your background, Geraldine. You experienced 15 years ago in Umicore an important board decision of business transformation with the explicit ambition to evolve from a mining company to a sustainable company. So you're well positioned to share us your experience in this change of management, change of strategy, stakeholder management and company culture, etc. Can you give us more insight in this and what was necessary to accomplish this transformation?
Sure. I mean, you're quite right to say that Umicore went to quite a transformation. Most people will know Umicore as the sustainable company it is today and relate us to the activities we have like recycling or making cathode material for rechargeable batteries, which then go into electric vehicles, or making catalysts, which make sure that, you know, there's no NOx emissions coming out of the exhaust pipe of your conventional car. So these are all very sustainable activities, but people sometimes forget that it wasn't always this way. You know, we have a history from over 200 years. And you may remember that at the time, Umicore was called Union Minière. And Union Minière was, as you said, a smelting and a mining company. And it was maybe not the typical company you would identify as being the most sustainable. So how did a company like that transform into a sustainability leader and champion? And that's, you know, it didn't just happen by accident. In order to make that transformation, we really needed a conscious decision. And it was actually the decision of two people. And it was our chairman of the board, Karel Vinke at the time, and the CEO of the company at the time, which was Thomas Leese. Yeah. And so it really is a good example of how a joint vision and a joint, objective to make a company more sustainable can really drive change and create value for all stakeholders. So it shows the importance of a board of directors and of individual directors in shaping a company's future and putting it on the path of sustainability.
What interests me in this particular case is, how did the transformation look like in practice, and perhaps what tips and tricks to retain in general?
Well, if you want to transform a company and make it more sustainable, I think one of the first and most important things to do is make sure that it's part of your strategy, that you really embed sustainability in your strategy. And that can take different forms and shapes, right? It will depend on what changes you want to make, whether you want to just change how you do business, whether you want to just change small aspects of your activities, put a different accent, or whether you want to change your company completely. But whatever the changes you want to make, whether they're big or small, you need to really embed them in your strategy. And for us, those changes were actually very, very big. They were really transformational, revolutionary, because what we did is we sold a number of activities. We sold, for instance, our mining activities, some of our smelting activities. We acquired new activities like the catalyst business. And we started internally, organically, we grew new activities like the rechargeable battery materials. So for us, it was a really big transformation. We also changed how we did business. So it was really all-encompassing, that transformation. But the most important part for us to be able to realize that was to not only embed it in our strategy, but to make it explicit. It's important that you expressly mention the sustainability aspect, that you give sustainability a voice, so that everybody really knows what it is you want to accomplish, because there's going to be bumps in the road, it's going to be challenging, and it's important that people really are all aligned. And that's the most important thing. And secondly, if you can, I would recommend that you also try to be concrete. Say what it is that you want to accomplish. Just saying you want to be sustainable it doesn't mean very much. Just say what it really is that you want to do. I always say that fluffy sustainability is not sustainability. So be concrete. And then finally, I would say, don't forget the G in ESG. The G stands for governance. And it's something that not everybody talks about all the time, because it's kind of the invisible pillar, the basis you really need. But without a good organization to support your transformation, it's not going to happen. So make sure you have an organization, that you have accountabilities, and you make it very clear who needs to do what, and that you have the organization supporting it. So all in all, I would say expressly embedded in your strategy, be explicit, be vocal about it, be concrete, and make sure you have the organization to support your transformation.
These are very good advices for a board, I think. And I can imagine that the last 20 to 30 years, the voice and the governance on sustainability has been changed a lot. And I wonder how companies like yours prioritize its sustainability initiatives in response to these changing demands.
Well, it is true that in the past years, expectations have evolved significantly. Now, still, like in the past, our shareholders, they still want that short-term financial return, and there's nothing around that, and that's not going to change, I think. But in addition to that financial return, stakeholders are expecting so much more of companies today. And it's not only the NGOs, it's also the shareholders, it's the financial institutions, it's our employees, it's our customers. So there's a lot of expectations out there on how a company should be doing sustainable business. And as you can imagine, all these stakeholders want different things in their own interest, and they want them all right away. So how, as a company, do you manage that? Because you can't do everything at the same time. So how do you manage these expectations? I think what you need to do is, first of all, you need to understand what it is that they're expecting from you. So you try to really identify what the expectations are. And comparing to that, you also have to look at how those expectations impact your business. What is it that you are able or willing to give or do as a company? And then what you need is strong leadership that can make those prioritization decisions and decide what are the priorities that you're going to have, and then just simply go with that and implement that. And I think here there is an important role also for directors to play, because they're often the ones also driving the sustainability journey of a company. You have to realize as a director that these expectations and this journey towards a more sustainable company is really a heavy thing to do. I mean, it requires a lot from an organization and a lot from the people in the organization. So when you set these objectives and you prioritize and you decide what you're going to be doing, directors shouldn't forget to stay in sufficient connection and contact with the organization so that they understand what it is that they're asking for and make sure that it remains realistic. So I think it's a balancing act between what is expected and setting your priorities as a company.
Very good. And so for realizing sustainable objectives integrated in EBITDA strategy, I would say, question regularly arising is if dedicated committee in the board is to be established. In Umicore, you created a sustainability committee next to the audit committee.
Yeah, that's quite right. Actually, we have an audit committee. We have a nomination and remuneration committee. We also have an investment committee because we have quite some growth ahead of us, so a lot of investments. And then fourthly, we have a sustainability committee since last year. Before that, historically, we dealt with sustainability issues twice a year in the whole board as the whole supervisory board, and then specific topics in the audit committee. But for Umicore, it was so important, and sustainability is such a big part of what we do, that for us it really made sense to create this specific sustainability committee. And it comes together about four times a year.
And how does it work in practice?
Well, sustainability really covers a lot of topics. So there is some overlap with other committees. So you have to be very clear when you create a sustainability committee as what it is the committee will be dealing with. What topics will it treat and what topics will it not treat? And also define the interaction with the other committees. So as you'll know, for instance, non-financial disclosure is, according to legislation, something that the audit committee should be looking at. Also, like risk management is also something that goes to the audit committee, and that includes ESG risks. So there is some overlap there. If you look at the NRC, the Nomination and Remuneration Committee, they might want to consider, do you want special ESG expertise on your board? Or when they set the remuneration of the management board, For instance, in Umicore, they decided that a significant part of that remuneration will depend on ESG or sustainability-related KPIs. So again, some overlap with the sustainability committee. So how have we dealt with that is that we have foreseen, at least in part, joint meetings of the different committees depending on the topic. And what we've also done is that in each committee, so in the NRC, in the audit committee, in the investment committee, there is each time one member of those that is also in the sustainability committee. So that there is always the sustainability aspects in, you know, taken into account in all the different committees. And you know, everybody knows what everybody else is talking about. So that's a good aspect.
So you make the links between all the committees.
Exactly. Yeah.
Through a certain dedicated person.
Yeah. And it works very well. Yeah.
Very good. And do you think for, in general, for a sustainable committee is needed only at the start, or is it there to stay?
Well, I would say not everybody needs, not every company needs a sustainability committee. I think it really depends on where you are on your sustainability journey. For other companies, it might be a different solution or a different governance model that is better. And I would say that there's a very good study from INSEAD on governance models for sustainability, and they express a little bit the different, you know, possibilities that there are. And it goes from having, you know, one expert in the in the supervisory board, or having one person with sustainability knowledge in each of the different committees, or what we have, a sustainability committee specifically. So it really depends on where you are as a company. But I think, at least for us, the ultimate goal is not to keep the sustainability committee. I think the ultimate goal is to have all your directors have sufficient knowledge of sustainability so that whatever they discuss or decide on in the supervisory board, sustainability is taken into account. And so that's really what we're striving for with our directors. We try to expose them regularly to sustainability topics and train them as well. So I think as a director, what you really should do is identify what model is best for your company, and not to be afraid after a year or two, once you've evolved, to change that model and adapt it to the needs at that time. And ask for trainings. Make sure that you receive the necessary exposure to sustainability, and you get the necessary trainings so you can evolve on that journey.
Okay, thank you for sharing this information, Geraldine. In addition to all this, the EU has published end of 2023 the European Sustainability Reporting Standards. Mm-hmm. This is a big challenge to implement. How do you tackle this in your organization?
Well, I think tackling is the right word. The ESRS is really a milestone towards transparency and you know, accountability in sustainable reporting. And I think it's a good thing. But we have to all acknowledge that it is really a big challenge for companies and also for companies like us. Even though we have been incorporating sustainability in our reporting for many years, this is a completely different ballgame. You know, the European Commission has, you know, you have all these standards out there, and they've taken little bits and pieces of the different standards and put it in one new playbook. So it's really new for everybody, and you got to figure out how it works. So how do we tackle it? First of all, what we did is like everybody, try to learn what it is that they really want from a company. What is it that you need to report on? And then we looked at what we're already doing. So the first step, I think, is doing this gap analysis to figure out where you stand as a company and what it is that you need to do. The second is obviously the double materiality test, because that's something we've been doing for many years at many companies, but now they've defined how that needs to look like. So again, you need to change what you've been doing in the past. So do the sustainability, the double materiality test like it's prescribed, and identify those topics that are important for you, material for you as a company, and that you will be reporting on. And I say, and then comes the whole implementation. And that's, you know, that's a big challenge, because you need to get all the data, that's not to be underestimated, consolidate it, You need to put in place the processes, the systems. You need to put in the internal control in place so that you can get to auditable data, because it needs to be audited. There is a lot that needs to happen, and you know, you need the whole organization to help out with this. And reality is that the organization has a lot of other stuff to do.
Of course.
They have to run a business. So it's not always the number one priority. So you got to really make it as easy as possible for the organization. Make your roadmap, cut it in pieces, and I just say, you know, take one step at a time. And that's how we're dealing with it. And I realize it's all about compliance, and it's not the most fun thing to do. But I do think that you can also see it a little bit as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for companies to really share their sustainability achievements and their ambitions, and just, you know, share it with the outside world and make it even more clear what you've been doing and what you plan on doing. So it is also an opportunity.
And also to share with the inbound world, with your colleagues and so on.
Yes, definitely.
So you can motivate and going in the right direction.
Yeah, that's definitely.
No, great. So okay. With these interviews, Guberna wants to deliver added value to board members of various companies and organizations, in addition of the trainings, literature and sounding boards on sustainability. But I'm curious about your rich experience. What can be expected, in your point of view, of a competent and efficient board member on this topic?
Well, it's a good question. I would say that if, as a board member, you want to put the company you're in on the sustainability path, there's a number of things that you can do and that you should be doing. First of all, I would say, don't treat sustainability as a tick-the-box thing. That's the one end of the slide. And the other hand, also, don't put unattainable objectives. You need to find that middle ground that fits the company that you're in. When you're setting your objectives for tomorrow, don't forget to look at where you are today, because that's the journey you're going to have to make. So as a director, I would say, first important thing, make sure that sustainability is on the table, is being discussed at the board level. And you'll be amazed how it trickles down the organization if you do so. Secondly, challenge the management board. Be bold when you're setting the objectives and really challenge them. But on the other side, remain realistic. So again, find that middle ground so that people can be motivated and really strive to achieve that sustainable objective and that strategy. You know, I think for any company, whatever the activities they're doing, there is always a way of being more sustainable. So this is something that you can do for any single company. I would say that I realize that it sounds daunting and it's difficult and it's a huge challenge, but putting sustainability in your strategy, really embedding it, is going to create a common purpose both for the company and the employees and all the people that are active in the company. And you'd be amazed about the energy that creates. So I would say, you know, just embed sustainability in the company strategy, and it's really, really worth it. That's the only recommendation I can give.
Thank you for sharing your valuable insights in this, and indeed, embed sustainability in your strategy, your EBITDA strategy even, to be an integrated part of it. Umicorn is a very good example of that. So, I thank you also for all suggestions you gave us to be more engaged to develop a better world, a world we should embrace as a gift and make it better for the upcoming generations. So thank you also for participating this Director Sparkles, and I hope to see you once again.
Thank you for
having me. Thank you very much.